We have our text this morning from the book of John and chapter 5. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to John chapter 5, verses 17, 19, and 20. Before I read the verses, let me just say something about the verses we are going to read. Chapter 5, John chapter 5, basically is a miracle in a sermon. And then Jesus has been performing miracles, and suddenly he has been accused of breaking the Sabbath. And these are Jesus' words in response to his accusers. So John chapter 5, verses 17, 19, and 20. In his defense, Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working." Jesus gave them this answer, "Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, and he will show him even greater works than this, so that you will be amazed." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word, and thank you for the privilege we have to spend this time in your house. So, Father, into your hands we place our time together. May your Holy Spirit be at work in our lives. Help us to respond. Father, forgive our sins. We are sinners, and we need you. So, Father, in your mercy, please help us to receive the message that you have prepared for us this morning. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Last week, we reflect those who came last week, that we reflect about life, eternal life. And we talk about having different kind of life, family life, intellectual life, creative life. And Jesus comes to give us eternal life, spiritual life. And he says, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." And it's all about faith. And that's what we read about Abraham having been an example of faith. Abraham is called to live. And God is calling those today who are willing to listen and respond. And we have Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 9. And Abraham just left. He went. He didn't know where he was going, when he was arriving. He just went. Now, we know that God called Abraham, or Abraham at that point, this way. And we read as well in the Bible, in the scriptures, that he calls people, and sometimes he doesn't give so much information about it. We read that in Matthew chapter 9, verse 9, in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 to 20. Today, let me read just some verses from Matthew chapter 4, 18 to 22. We read about Abraham. Let's read about the disciples. So, Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, let me read first. "As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. 'Come, follow me,' Jesus said, 'and I will send you out to fish for people.' 'I will make you fishers of men.' At once they left their nets and followed him." Now, if we read a little bit further, 21 and 22, he said, "Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and they left." In some cases, Jesus gives information. Others, not much information. And they just follow. Now, sometimes we read in the Bible about Moses and the children of Israel. God led through a cloudy by day and fire by night. Okay, there. But here we have Peter, Andrew, James, John, Matthew. God is not giving so much information. He basically is saying, "Follow me. I show you. Follow me. I will show you." If you are Christians, if we are Christians and we are saved, that is halfway. until you are employed by the master to be features of men. Until we are employed to be like him. Every believer is called to be a people catcher, because out there is darkness. And we are called to be light. We are called to be salt. And God has designed us, all of us, people, with five clear distinct areas in our lives of functioning. We are physical beings. I can touch. We are physical beings. We are longing beings. We want to be successful. We long to be loved. You know, we are longing beings. We are thinking beings. We think, we study, we are intellectual beings. But we are choosing beings. Our free will to do whatever we want. But also, we are feeling beings. We want to be accepted. And let me tell you something. There is one area of our lives that never ever will be filled. The deepest longing of our soul, although often unconscious, is for a relationship with the God who made us. So we can search in every place in our lives. We can have a good family, a successful life. We could have an academic career. We can be successful in our business. But there is something inside that will never be satisfied until you have a personal relationship with the Lord. We foolishly think that we can satisfy our thirst by drinking out of a cistern of our own making. Our jobs, our family, our success, sex, fame, success. No, we cannot feel it. You cannot feel it, my friend. And you come back again, you will be depressed. Because that's how you are being designed. To have a relationship with God. Now, John chapter 5. The verses we are going to study this morning briefly. Marcus Dodd says, this 5 minutes talk with the Jews contains probably the most important truth ever uttered upon earth. This is powerful. Jesus has been performing miracles. He has been doing good to people. Jesus has been helping people. People were happy. He was talking about love. And he declared that God is a loving father who hungered for the love of people. He showed that this is the way. He said, I am the way. Come on, I'm going to serve you. But the Pharisees resented and opposed Jesus. You know why? Because their concept of God did not include love for sinners. It was all about the temple. It was all about the law. It was all about the liturgy. And now Jesus made this claim. They said, well, yes, I am the way. It's all about love, but God the Father loved everyone. Even the sinners. Now Jesus is called. They said to respond, why are you doing these things on the Sabbath? You are breaking the law. And Jesus made three claims very clearly here. He says, I am the Son of God, in verses 16 to 20. I am the Messiah, verses 21 to 24. I will be the judge, verses 25 to 30. But first of all, let me see the context. The context is the healing of a lame man at the pool of Bethesda. This man has been there for 38 years, invalid. This man has been hoping for a new life. Jesus asking, and I love this verse, and I have it in my Bible, in chapter 5, in verse 6, it says, do you want to get well? Shall we say it together? Do you? That's what Jesus asked this man. Do you want to get well? And this man explained his situation. And what Jesus does is he brings healing, not only physical healing. He brings wholeness, spiritual. But he was doing this on the Sabbath. Oh, that's not the way we do it here. How dare you to change that? That's basically what they were saying. And then so Jesus is doing it there. and he's in trouble. So Jesus, what I like here, maybe Jesus wanted to put things a little bit better. He is worse because he comes and his response is worse because he can't say, well, okay, that's okay. I will do it. Okay, I'm going to compromise. No, he speaks the truth. And that's maybe one of our lessons. Sometimes when we just say the truth, God is coming to operate. And the first thing he says, I am the Son of God. Verses 16 to 20 says, in this way, why the Jews were persecuting Jesus? Because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. Why are you doing this on the Sabbath? So Jesus answered them, my Father is working until now, and I am working. This was why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because not only was he breaking the Sabbath now, but now he was even calling God his own Father, making equal with God. So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son of Man can do nothing accord on his own accord, but only what he sees the Father's doing. Jesus is saying, well, I am the Son of God, and I am going to continue working as my Father is working. Now, it makes sense. Can you breathe? We'll do it because of whom? He is working. When you see this beautiful sunset, so sun rising, you know, the sun is rising, who is doing it? God. God is sustaining the universe. So Jesus, the point that Jesus is making, he says, his argument is that he is doing it because his Father is doing it all the time. He's merely imitating God. He will do just as the Father does. It is a matter of consistency. So then he said, he is doing everything so you can continue breathing. I am doing it. Also, he said, well, I am doing what my Father does. Now, for the Jews, this was a problem because Jesus is claiming that God is his Father. He's claiming an unprecedented equality with God. For the Jews, in one Bible commentary, John MacArthur says, the Jews view themselves collectively as sons of God by creation. Jesus, however, claimed to be God's son by nature. The same commentator said, the hostile Jews' authorities clearly understood that Jesus' use of the title Son of God was a claim to deity. He is God. He's in trouble. Blasphemy. Is blasphemy. But Jesus said the mind of Jesus was the mind of God. The words of Jesus were the words of God. And his actions were God's actions. Now the second claim, as he speaks to the Jews, is that he is the Messiah. He is the Savior. Verse 21 of John chapter 5 said, for as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. I am the Messiah. I can give life. I can bring life. Jesus graciously bestows life. Now remember the invalid man, the lame man. Jesus extended grace to this person. He chooses him out of many perhaps there sitting waiting for healing. He does it. Now, and this is a reminder that Jesus does it because of grace. And he can do it because he is the Savior of the world. Verse 21 says, the Son gives life to whom he will. Now, all of us, we have been born from a mom and a man and a woman. All of us? Anybody from Mars or Jupiter? Well, all of us, isn't it? Now, that is biological life. And I receive it from my mom and my dad. Bio life. But when Jesus comes and he gives the life that comes from his Father, is Zoe life. Eternal life. So the moment we have Jesus, we have what? Eternal life. Now, he comes to this man and says, what was the question? Do you remember the question? Do you want to be well? This man listened to Jesus when he heard and believed, a new quality of life comes. That is the gospel. Jesus says, I want to give you Zoe. I want to give you eternal life. You want to take it? Do you want to be well? I am the savior of the world. That is what Jesus is saying here. When we believe the credential of Jesus, who he said he is, and then we act on them, we are saved. When we hear his claims, we act on them, we cross over from the state of death to the state of life. This man says, yes, I want to be well. This is my poor situation. Now, let me try to explain a little bit. I'm going to show you a little bit more of me. This picture is the stadium of my team in Ecuador. So you have the honor to see it. This is Barcelona, which is the same name of Barcelona in Spain. And this stadium has about 80,000 people. It's a beautiful stadium in South America. I used to see it, well, no. And and then what happened is, it's crazy. In Ecuador, they have more than half of the population, the football fans, Barcelona. And now we have a game. It's Barcelona against MLE. MLE is the other team who is quite popular as well. And then the Barcelona was created by the workers from Spain in the early 1900s, and it was popular. MLE was people who were working in the power station and all that. Okay, that's a good thing as well, but Barcelona is better. One day, it was the Clásico. A stadium like that. About to finish the game. Last minute, Barcelona score. You can imagine the emotion. And the Emelec people were saying, no, that is not right. That's illegitimate. That, you know why? And they, oh, that was crazy. I'm not exaggerating. Then in the evening, all the commentators, the radio, the paper put a headline. Have you realized that sometimes the sport commentator seems to know more than the coach? I think they should employ them. And then what happened is, on 2 o'clock, Monday, the referee conceded, you know, an interview. And everyone was saying this and that, and this was what the referee responded. So simple, and everything finished. The referee replied, maybe so. But mine is the only opinion that counts. It's goal. We won. So you see what I'm trying to say. It's true for us. You know, there is only one opinion that counts. Maybe there are other religions there. We respect them. Maybe there are other therapies. We respect them. Maybe there are other philosophies. We respect them. But Jesus, my Lord, my Savior, your Lord, your Savior, say, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. So the reference is maybe so. The mind is the only one that counts. Do you want to be well? Do we want to be well? Is your marriage on the rocks? Are you struggling with an addiction? Are you having problems with your personality? Do you want to get well? Jesus says finally to the people here, to these religious leaders, I am the great judge, he says. Truly, truly, I tell you, verse 25 of John 5, an hour is coming, is now here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, my voice, and those who will hear will live. As the Father has life in himself, Zoe. So he has granted the Son, what? Zoe, eternal life. And he has given him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of God. Do you believe it? He is the Son of God. Do not marvel at this, he says. For an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life and those who have done evil to resurrection of judgment. I am the judge. Jesus is saying, I am the judge. I am the final judge of human destiny. Jesus is saying, he is the judge of morality. He is the one who decides according to what is moral is immoral, what is right and what is wrong. He is the one who only can give life. Verses 24 and 26. He is the one who is the giver of Zoe, eternal life. Nothing else. Were these claims true? Well, is this right? How would you have reacted if you were living in Jerusalem? Is he arrogant? Is he crazy? Very briefly before I finish, says, it's hot in here. Let me say what Jesus responds to these people. In the verses 33, he says, Jesus says, the claim, my claims are verified by John the Baptist. John the Baptist says, hear the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus says in verse 33, you have sent to John and he has testified to the truth. Jesus says to them, my claims were verified by the witness of the Heavenly Father in verse 37, John chapter 5. He says, you remember when I was baptized, you heard a voice from heaven. This is my beloved son. You heard the Father speaking about me. Jesus said to these people, my claims were verified by miraculous works. Verse 36, I have testimony wider than that of John for the word that the Father has given me to finish the very works I am doing. Can you see this man? He's healed. Can you see the other person that was healed? The other person, my miracles, those testify about me. Oh, can you check your teaching in the Old Testament? Can you check your teaching in the Torah? Jesus says in verse 39, you study the scriptures. You study it. You look. These are the very scriptures that testify about me. Check the Psalms, Isaiah, the prophets. Jesus is defending himself. Oh, Jesus carry on and says, well, have you verified the changes on these people? This man was a lame man. Now he's alive. You remember the prostitute? You remember the woman caught in adultery? Hey, can you see it? But the most important, my tomb is empty. We can go to the tomb of other prophets and we find them there. We go to the garden tomb. It is empty. What was the response? Well, some people were indifferent. So what? Like today, we preach the gospel. Some people say, well, that's okay. And you want to believe that? That's okay. Another respond without. What about the other people standing around by the pool? Why Jesus didn't heal them? Oh, he fed 5,000 people. What if he has a starter, main course, and dessert? Not just bread and fish. What about these people doubt? Oh, some people hate him. Some responded with intense jealousy and hatred as a result of pride, selfishness, and prejudice. My friends, if we take Jesus out of the schools that we already have, this is what is happening. This is the paper from this week. It reads on the front page, Britain in the grip of a violent crime wave as thoughts run riot on mopeds and motorbikes. And here they say London now has a higher murder rate than New York, with more than 70 killings so far this year. Knife crime has also led to the deaths of go on. We take Jesus out. This is what we are going to have. They hate Christianity. Some receive Jesus and embrace him and were loyal to him. Oh, all religions are the same. My friend, no. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. He wants to give us eternal life. Not only bio, Zoe life, eternal life. What will you do with Jesus, my friend? Let me finish with a quotation from C.S. Lewis in Mere Christianity. He says, many people said about him, about Jesus, I am ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claims to be God. That is the one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said this sort of thing Jesus says will not be a great moral teacher. He will either be a lunatic on a level with the man who says he's a poached egg, or else he will be the devil of hell. You must make your choice, my friend. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. My cornerstone, my refuge, my good shepherd. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. Friends, there is an invitation from the Lord Jesus. We are not only to learn from him academically, we are to follow him. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. This is the only way. We just follow in humbling obedience. We just do whatever he does. We do whatever he says. And then Charles Spurgeon, I was trying to check. He preached on this passage and I love what he says. Let me read it to you. He said, Charles Spurgeon says in a sermon on this passage, says, we cannot be fishers of men if we remain among men in the same element with them. Fish will not be fishers. He says, the sinner will not convert the sinner, the ungodly will not convert the ungodly man, and is more the point, the worldly Christians will not convert the world. We will never do it. We are to follow what he says. He was obedient, obedience. He was holy, we are to be holy. It's not just for the saints. It's not just for the leaders. It's for all of us. Our testimonies is the most important. We must live his life and be ready to die his death. What will you do with Jesus? What will be your response to the claims of Jesus Christ concerning his own unique purpose? I was in Clanberry this week, and maybe you have been to the museum, and I came across this sign is there for the war when they were calling people to serve. And this sign says there are three types of men: those who hear the calling, obey; those who delay; and the others. There are three types of people: those who hear the calling, obey. Here is Jesus, my life. I don't know what you're gonna do. This is it. Those who delay, and the others. My friends, Jesus is worthy of our confidence and love. He invites you and me to be loyal to him. He wants to heal our societies. It happened before in the UK. It can happen again. Do you believe that? Because if you don't believe it, we are wasting our time doing church. We need to allow him. Do you want to be well? Do we want to be well? I finish. Shall we read together verses 24 and then we are going to pray? Jesus is speaking and he says this. Let's read together. I. Are we going to recognize Jesus as the Son of God? Are we going to recognize Jesus as the Savior who graciously bestows life upon us, eternal life? You want to recognize him as the Lord of your life, that he's coming back to judge? What will you do with Jesus? May the Lord help us to answer that question. Do you want to be well? Do we want to be well? Let us pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for this miracle that speaks of your grace. And help us to be like this man who was there prisoner for 38 years. I pray for that person this morning who has been prisoner. Maybe not a lame person, but maybe she or he has an addiction or has a problem with his character or her character, sin, lust, pride, prejudice. To answer that question, do you want to get well? Oh, Father, help us to embrace you. Help us to accept the eternal life that you want to give us, the soul life that you want for us. And Father, help us to hear your voice and respond with faith. And we pray, Lord, that you can heal our lives, our families, this city, our cities, Lord, London, Manchester, Liverpool. Oh, Lord, may eternal life be available. But help us to be obedient and be ready to receive it. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.